just encourage you not to pander to the Twittersphere and really the haters, you know. They like to drink their haterade and eat their hater tots.
You go looking for trouble, or does it always find you?
You guys all think I'm a hero, and I'll accept that responsibility.
One of the greatest ideas in human history.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Good luck. That's sort of like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall.
And Jell-O is about to be nailed to the wall with the CEO of the American branch of TikTok testifying before Congress. And boy, if that congressman that we just heard quoted during the Fox News top of the hour news, who is comparing it to the American-based and owned Twitter or Facebook, if he needs to know the difference, I can spell it out for him. By the way, public pro tip, pro Seattle public tip. You can't just leave dead bodies places, even if it's in a Range Rover. But you know where Laurelhurst is? You drive past Montlake on the 520, look left at all those beautiful homes. That's Laurelhurst, and that's where Children's Hospital is. Up on 40th Avenue Northeast, Seattle police responded. This is from the SPD blotter last night. A report of a deceased woman left in a vehicle in the Laurelhurst neighborhood. Police arrived just after 2 a.m. and found the woman wrapped in a blanket inside a black SUV, a Range Rover. However, it was left in the emergency drop zone of a hospital. I guess you just roll by and the person in crisis, you just roll them out, and there's like a air pad or something there. Seattle Fire Department personnel were on scene and confirmed the woman had died. It appears the 39-year-old female may have overdosed on narcotics. However, the King County Medical Examiner's Office will confirm manner and cause of death. Meanwhile, if anyone has information about this incident, please call the SPD's Violent Crimes tip line. Gonzaga loses to UCLA in a couple hours. Let's see. Should I get – have you seen that? The Iowa women's team, that guard for Iowa,
Christy something. Around? Is that viral video where she has some words for the opposing?
No,
team?
She's just so damn good.
Yeah,
I mean, she has the quicks, she has the hops, and the shots,
and the chops.
You know, I'd like to see maybe a Division I co-ed tournament or something. Gonzaga UCLA is at 6:45 p.m. West Coast time.
The Bulldogs, a 3 seed versus the number 2 seed Bruins.
Yeah, and UCLA is going to
wipe the floor with them.
Yeah. This is sort of the weak link in the Gonzaga strategy of beating up on the St. Mary's and the Little Sisters of the Poor and all that, and cranking up those 25 kind of, you know, gushy wins. And the Whitworths and the Whitmans and all that is that when they face when they start facing the quality, then that's where the rubber meets the road. They're kvetching in the NHL because certain players and in some cases even entire teams are not wearing the Pride Month jersey. And there's little doubt the San Jose Sharks goalie James Reimer knew well in advance that allowing a soft overtime goal to Kraken defenseman Vince Dunn on Thursday, last Thursday, would be the least of his weekend problems to follow. He announced that he wasn't going to wear the celebratory warm-up jersey celebrating LGBTQ+ communities. He released a statement and he said, for all 13 years of my NHL career, I have been a Christian, not just in title, but in how I choose to live my life daily. I have a personal faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, and in response asked me to love everyone and follow him. I have no hate in my heart for anyone, and I always strived to treat everyone that I encounter with respect and kindness. In this specific instance, I'm choosing not to endorse something that is counter to my personal convictions, which are based on the Bible, the highest authority in my life, close quote. And so it's not just him. And that's the thing is I think he just kind of made the case that it shouldn't be mandatory, because now you're putting agendas on people that maybe don't agree with them. Would there be a Second Amendment Pride Night in the WNBA? You know, what would happen then? So anyway, the warm-up jerseys are about some NHL teams giving often marginalized communities an additional sense of pride. And this is from a Seattle Times column today. I'll get to more of that here in just a minute. The columnist titled the column "James Reimer and Other NHL Players Who Declined to Wear Pride Night Jerseys Deserve Scrutiny." What he buries a couple paragraphs down is that there's entire teams that are saying, "No, we're don't put that on, don't make us the NFL." So the TikTok CEO, Xiao Chu, is Singaporean by birth and citizenship. But the company, the parent company, ByteDance, is Beijing by citizenship and origin. So that kicks off here in a little bit. And you know, I don't know if he has an opening statement. I could probably script it for him.
And he released a video on TikTok previewing his upcoming testimony.
Course. Is he dancing to a Kesha song or what's he?
Hi, everyone. It's Xiao here. I'm the CEO of TikTok. I'm here in Washington, D.C. today. I'm super excited to announce that more than 150 million Americans are on TikTok. That's almost half of the U.S. coming to TikTok to connect, to create, to share, to learn.
To be spied on by the Chinese CCP.
Yeah. Hi, everyone.
And the good morning, China. And that Congressman Bowman from New York, you know, what he's missing is that TikTok provides another piece of the giant fire hose of information that the Chinese grab from us.
Good morning, China.
Through hacking or that app. And, you know, and they're going to trot out. He trotted out a bunch of influencers. And I'm sorry, but if the one woman said 99% of my business is on TikTok. Well, you get an OnlyFans channel.
OnlyFans.
Something like that. It's just then you have a bad business model. You know, that's like, oh, geez, I only make ham-filled croissants and none others or whatever.
I think one of the reasons for this hearing today is to raise public awareness, because if it is true that 150 million Americans are on this platform, those are going to be Americans that are upset if this thing ends up getting banned. So not a lot of people are really in tune or aware with the fact that this is a major data collection grab and that this company is subject to the authoritarian regime in power in China.
And when the Indians banned it, you know, kids were getting addicted to it. India is, you know, it's 1.3 billion people, half of which are staring down at their phone. And they said that within a few weeks, people in India were writing their own apps for video sharing and all that. The thing about TikTok is the algorithm that feeds you your next hit. You know, if you get on it, if you just do that experiment and just get on it for 5 minutes, you know, it'll start showing you like NFL's hardest hits or, you know, kid throws a football at his dad's crotch. And if you laugh at that, and you know, let's face it, Bob Saget had a career based on that premise. And it's
Bob Saget?
You know, from America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, yes, of course. Sure.
There were entire compilations of that. And that's why the show is so popular. And it's how they collect the information and the whole thing. I played it last hour in the award-winning first hour.
Our entire country was outraged at one Chinese spy balloon flying across our great land. This is 150 million spy balloons on our smartphones.
Let's shoot them down.
Shoot them down.
Shoot those ones down. The SEC commissioner, who I guess I should know his name, Brendan Carr, is discussing part of the real threat assessment about TikTok.
Obviously, TikTok is an immensely popular application. I think that's part of what we see with Representative Bowman talking about. I think, therefore, it's incumbent on government officials to speak very clearly about the real national security threats. And TikTok is not just another fun short-form video application where you can share dances or other memes. It operates as a very sophisticated surveillance tool. Underneath, it's pulling everything from search and browsing history, keystroke patterns, potentially, according to their own terms of service, biometrics, including face prints and voice prints. And for years, we were told by TikTok officials, don't worry, all of this is stored in the U.S. In some cases, they would say it doesn't even exist in China. And then this past summer, BuzzFeed News had this blockbuster report that had internal audio communications of TikTok saying that, in fact, quote, everything is seen in China. And that exposed their representation does nothing more than gaslighting. But it goes.
Everything they said turned out to be a lie last year, which is shocking. And they got the background information on a reporter who was critical of China's policies in Western China with the Muslim Uyghurs and all that. And boy, they went. I mean, if you had written it at the height of the Wuhan bat soup Chinese caused pandemic to spy on people criticizing China, you couldn't have done better.
We do have a preview of TikTok CEO Shou Chu's testimony today.
All right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse.
All is well. So that'll be going on today. And if there's any bites that are worth it, we'll get it to you. But you know how I like to talk to the youngins and pass it on to the oldins.
I do know that.
Well, about what the kids are doing. Well, that's thing one of Know It All.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know It All.
There are first no skid marks.
Well, the kids are saying when they go into, hey mom and dad, what did you leave in their prescription? What's it called? In the bathroom.
The
medicine
cabinet, medicine cabinet.
Kids are skimming your boy, you name it, up, down, whatever, and they're going to parties that they call Skittle parties. And in a Skittle party, they bring a fruit juice, such as seen over there, and they empty their pockets of whatever it is they took out of you or your or their sibling's medicine cabinet, whatever prescription drugs that may provide an effect if you take too many. They're putting them in the middle and they're all grabbing them and putting them in the juice. And that's called a Skittle party. And
what could go wrong?
The reason that the news about the fentanyl in different colored pills was chilling was because it looked like different prescription drugs. So if your kids are referring to a Skittle party, that's what they're doing. They're taking your prescriptions, and maybe they're expired or you got it refilled or whatever. But if you're on any sort of antidepressant or anything like that, or maybe you're the opposite of an anti- what's an opposite of an antidepressant?
An upper.
Yeah, there you go. An upper or whatever. But that's a new term for it, is a Skittle party. And I learned that from an odd source. I was listening this morning at I woke up organically at 1 a.m. and I was listening to a BBC documentary about fentanyl in America. And it got down to the brass tacks, the nitty gritty, what I've been talking about how it's how it's marketed. If you can call it that, but how kids don't know what they don't know. And so if someone says, oh, it's my brother's, what is the blues are supposed to represent? I forgot whatever the M30 prescription is, the little blue pill that says M30 and Percocet. And so kids saying, oh, I grabbed some of my brother's Percocets, man. They just wiped me out. Here, have two. They just handed them fentanyl. And so that's so I heard this on this BBC podcast at 1:30 a.m. on streaming. And it blew me away that they were addressing stuff that is not being addressed by the American media, by the way. So anyway, that's the phrase that pays for the kids thing, too.
Second thing.
Hey, do you know anyone that's had a organ transplant? Do you know anyone, Craig?
No, but I am an organ donor.
Yeah, I just saw that on my... I forgot to uncheck that box on my enhanced driver's license.
Why do you want to uncheck it?
No one wants my organs.
Oh, that's true.
Also, that's creepy. And you know what part of the problem is? Because the entire U.S. transplant system is going to be overhauled by the U.S. government. It's had serious problems for years. I know a guy who got a kidney and a heart from the same donor. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They had a tough COVID because they're on the anti-rejection drugs, which lower your immunity. And real tough COVID for them. But anyway, good guy. I'm glad he's alive. 104,000 people are on the wait list for organs, and only 22 people die each day. Poor and minority patients are the most affected. Too many organs are wasted. And part of the reason, and in the overhaul, they're going to break up the monopoly of the organization that's managed it for 37 years and improve the system's technology and bring more oversight and transparency. I read a no-holds-barred opinion piece from a pair of Swedish doctors that said the reason that that hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans die each year waiting for an organ is because it's illegal to sell an organ in America. And they make a compelling case. I mean, you only need one kidney. And a friend of mine donated a kidney and got nothing for it except, you know, a pat on the back and all that. And they're making the case that if people could donate bits of liver or whatever, it would save lives and make them money. The CEO of TikTok seems to be waving his hands around and getting very excited. So that'll be thing three.
Third thing.
Here he is.
There are more than 150 million Americans who love our platform, and we know we have a responsibility to protect them, which is why I'm making the following commitments to you and to all our users. Number one, we will keep safety, particularly for teenagers, as a top priority for us.
Good morning, China.
Number two, we will firewall protected U.S. data from unwanted foreign access.
Good morning, China.
Number three, TikTok will remain a place for free expression and will not be manipulated by any government.
Good morning, China.
And fourth, we will be transparent.
Ironically, that a guy representing a Chinese company is talking about free expression.
Accountable for our commitments. I'll be grateful for any feedback that you have, and I look forward to your questions. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chu, whatever happened to the guy standing in front of the tank with the two plastic bags at Tiananmen Square? That's not going to be...
Let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we?
Yeah, so the Chinese are covering this, but they won't cover stuff like that.
And we all know the Chinese regime, their word is their bond.
Yeah, that's the thing there about that. So that's going on now. I wonder, but and you know, the question is not his popularity.
The ban does not go through. Want to bring back Anish Chopra quickly.
There's Jasmine Kasugian on one NBC affiliate. But so not the you know, the controversy is it popular? It clearly is. And you know what else is popular? Addictive drugs, because because psychologists have talked about this, that TikTok is electronic heroin. And this is if you are a student of history and you know about the opium wars in the 1800s, you know that the Chinese have 100 years of, as they call it, the 100 years of humiliation. Like, it went from 1847 to 1947. And that they're not real forgiving about empires that went and plied heroin through there to bifurcate and split up the Chinese people. And if there is such a revenge, it would be TikTok. And the other thing here is the Chinese are getting angry that we're getting awoke to the fact that they're getting very aggressive and that the rest of the Pacific is looking to us to do something to oppose these guys and let them know that they're not going to just roll over Asia and they're not going to get people in debt traps and that they have a different way of doing things. That's not how civilization has evolved. And they're looking to us. And now all of a sudden the Republic of the Philippines, Marcos Jr. is saying, oh, yeah, there's going to be 5 or 6 American bases built back in the Philippines. And, you know, he's saying that out loud. And the Chinese are freaking out going, but wait, we flew to Manila and offered you a bunch of money. And you said, yes, free, peaceful development is welcome in the Philippines. Well, you can't do that with American bases. And the Filipino government is saying, yeah, but they were here for 100 years. They left the place better than they found it when they wrested it away from Spain. So, you know, do you promise that? Because, you know, look at what they did in Laos. And if you don't know, the Chinese built a dam over the Mekong River in Laos near its source. And this is going to develop Laos, wasn't it? You know, free electricity for everyone. Well, when Laos couldn't make the loan payment, China repoed the electricity. They went, okay, well, that was nice. Anyway, if anything comes out of this, if this guy is just wearing a suit and he's actually Mao and there's a big zipper in the back, we'll bring that to you. Also, when we come back, some vice president highlights and what's the latest on Gwyneth Paltrow's knocked an old guy down in Utah.
The trial of the century.
Oh, yeah. Oh, never mind. Did Buster do it?
There are no skid marks.
That's Nancy Grace on Gwyneth Paltrow's skiing style. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Boy, that palm seed oil is really destructive to the environment. The number one cooking oil in the world is soybean. Number two is palm oil. I'm more and more a huge fan of the clarified butter, by the way. Number three, though, is rapeseed. And that has been a problem slogan for the rape capital of the world, which is Tisdale, Saskatchewan. So I got to say, I think there might be something in the water up in Saskatchewan when it comes to marketing. Because
I think they're due for a rebranding.
Yeah, because they had a sign, rape capital of the world, uh-oh, outside of Tisdale, Saskatchewan. And their slogan, land of rape and honey, not doesn't translate well.
Why doesn't that connect with people?
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, then along comes Regina, Saskatchewan, and they say, uh-oh, hold our beer. Hey, rape capital of the world, hold our beer, says Regina. But this one, it seems like the modern times have caught up to Saskatchewan.
In Canada, the tourism board in Regina has apologized for an ad campaign critics say sexualized the city. This is in the city of Regina, Saskatchewan. It looks like it's spelled Regina, but it is pronounced Regina. The group called Experience Regina rolled out a new campaign to try to boost tourism in the city. Came with new logos and a bunch of new slogans, but one, show us your Regina, which obviously is meant to encourage.
I like it. Let's run that up the flagpole and see who salutes it. That's terrific. I'm trying to use marketing cliches.
Urge people to share all the fun things they do in Regina. I'm just looking at the faces here in the studio. Show us your Regina, which obviously is meant to encourage people to share all the fun things they do in Regina. I'm just looking at the faces here in the studio. Speaking of fun, some T-shirts related to the effort read, Regina, the city that rhymes with fun. I've heard lots of Canadian accents, and it seems like there's just too many syllables there. Right. After complaints from the community, the agency apologized and said they are stopping the campaign.
How dare they?
And people were just uploading videos of kayaking and all that. So how many of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders? But you don't fire anyone over that. You points just for thinking of it, I suppose. You know, finally. But so anyway, dipping back into the People's Republic of TikTok, a Republican congressperson here asking this avatar for the Chinese Communist Party, Mr. Shou Chu, the CEO of the American side of TikTok, or of TikTok, I should say, its parent company, the Chinese Communist Party, is headquartered in Beijing, and his excellent English and all that aside, you know, the guy's a billionaire because of the Chinese Communist Party. And just so that you all understand, the other difference between Facebook and Twitter and all that is they get to exist, you know, without paying a payoff to the Democratic Party or the Libertarian Party or whatever. But anyway, let's see how Mr. Chu answers.
Content at the request of the Chinese government.
The question is, are you 100% certain that they cannot use your company to promote such messages?
It is our commitment to this community and all our users that we will keep this free from any manipulation by any government.
If you can't say 100% certain, I take that as a no.
You will die a peasant's death. I'm sorry. I retract that statement. And this is part of the deal. Imagine that the Soviet Union had a cartoon channel during the Cold War, you know, or Hitler had a a radio network. It had a radio station in America, and someone saying, "Well, hey, isn't that a contradiction that you know, we're supposed to be defending the First Amendment and free speech, and but we silence someone?" And I mean, part of this is the recognition that we have near peer rivals that could morph into enemies, and we're trying to manage this into a fruitful relationship across the Pacific that doesn't look like Carthage versus Rome, which is what it looks like to me now. Do they treasure a peaceful transfer of services and manufacturing and all that across the social? Well, the Eastern Pacific, that all the countries that surround China, aren't getting that vibe.
One of the core problems here, Brian, is Americans in this day and age are myopic thinkers, and far too many of us have our head buried in the sand, and we can only see the here and now. China's playing the long-term game, right?
Yeah.
They don't necessarily want to get into a war with us between our armies, but they understand they can infiltrate various parts of American life. And eventually, yes, their goal is to conquer this nation, be the number one world power. But we're too consumed with watching videos of people dancing and going, isn't this so cute and wonderful? And we don't see the addictive problem with the platform, and we don't see the data collection problem with this platform. We need to be educated about this stuff. We cannot afford to be ignorant and naive. I call this the Obama complex, and I'm going to go back in the Wayback Machine.
Everyone go to college and no. Everything will be better.
2008 debate with Mitt Romney.
The 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back.
That was a mic drop moment for Barack Obama. Fast forward years later, and it's one of the most brain dead comments he made in the whole campaign. And yeah. He proved to be naive and ignorant and stupid. But everybody wants to believe the best about everybody. And no one has our worst interest in mind. Everybody has our best interest in mind. And, you know, this whole thing where we had geopolitical foes and people were out to get us, that's a bygone era. It's way in the past.
Oh, yeah. The Cold War's over. Hello.
Yeah. And China, what threat could they pose? Really, we're ignorant.
And the Chinese have seen something that the KGB and the Soviet Union never could. And it was that if the strength of your society is that it's wide open, then we'll just come in and spend money left and right. And that's why basically New Zealand is out of what are called the Five Eyes intelligence sharing, the English-speaking democracy sharing information between England, U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. The New Zealand political system has been corrupted so much by the Chinese immigration and influence money that for the Chinese, doing it without firing a shot is goal number one. And so far, they're advancing on every front. If Americans will hire a Chinese national on an H-1B visa to work in some of the most sensitive corners of aerospace, and they can fill a thumb drive with raw data and email it back, they will do that, and they have been doing it because someone at the UW is going to say, well, it's not my job to go into an advanced research lab and clear out the Chinese, you know. But they would be protesting if the FBI had an office at the UW, and they know that their research is being, you know, backdoored all over the place because the Chinese are saying, well, why spend money researching it when we can just get it by sending someone on an H-1B visa, you know, or whatever. And so that's part of their, you know, part of the strategy. The other strategy is that they delight and love the advancements in the internet because they are already a surveillance society. And the internet is a de facto personal choice surveillance society. And like I was saying, it was all in Mandarin. I couldn't play it yesterday and I can't play it today, but the Chinese were touting to 1.4 billion people on Chinese news last night, what a breakthrough it is. The Chinese police now have effectively Google glasses for facial recognition and warrants and known disreputable people and people that are politically, you know, critical of the Chinese Communist Party and the whole thing. And so that cops just walking down the street, but they don't need probable cause in China. What a shocker. They were touting that. That's what a breakthrough for harmony. And it's, so you have to understand that. that their view of what's going on between the growth of China and America's attempt to contain China. You know, if we had an app in China that was influencing Chinese kids to express themselves and start opposition parties, it would be firewalled tomorrow or by noon today. And so people were really naive in the 2000s. Like here's one.
We know how much the internet has changed America, and we are already an open society. Imagine how much it could change China. Now, there's no question China has been
equating the internet with being a freedom spewer is the dumbest thing ever. Orwell would have absolutely put he would have called the internet Big Brother. Back in a second, AM 770 KTJ.
I'm super excited to announce.
Good morning, China.
History Month is about.
During Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history.
Well, that clears that up. You know what is history is Britain's colonial era defamation law. You know, in Britain, you can go to jail for defamation.
I do now.
It's not just sued. It's a criminal thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lawyer in India said, if a man says all lawyers are thieves, then I as a lawyer cannot file a case against him for defamation unless I can show its imputation aimed at me. Well, the opposition leader in India, Rahul Gandhi, who's quite Gandhi-like, is going to do 2 years because of something he said at a rally.
Right to jail.
You know, the prime minister, president of India is Narendra Modi, and there is a fugitive Indian diamond tycoon right now named Nirav Modi, and there's a former chief of the Indian Premier League cricket league who's been banned for life by the country's cricket board named Lalit Modi. And so at a speech, speaking at an election rally at the Karnataka state in April of 2019, sounds made up. He said, quote, why do all these thieves have Modi as their surname? Nirav Modi, Lalit Modi, Narendra Modi. So he throws in the president's name. And anyway, they found that defamatory, and he's going to do 2 years for that. Anyway, back to open society.
Right to jail, right away.
So, yeah, it's funny. You go back in time to 2000 and Bill Clinton equating, well, we're already in open society, a little too open if you ask me. And equating the penetration of the internet with, you know, somehow beating against the wall of autocracy that China has continued to reinforce.
We know how much the internet has changed America, and we are already an open society. Imagine how much it could change China. Now, there's no question China has been trying to crack down on the internet. Good luck. That's sort of like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall.
Just like it. Well, so that was said in 2000. What he didn't know was that 6 years before, Google had already agreed to put up a great firewall. Iran has the same thing, by the way. So, yeah, you can throttle the internet. I mean, Dish TV, DirecTV can throttle your internet. Your internet provider can do that. So anyway, if I had a time machine, I'd go back and tell him, Soylent Green is people on that one, bro. And so anyway, the TikTok hearings are going on, and we'll bring you highlights as they come. So here's your daily, but again, a reminder.
During Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history, who saw what could be unburdened by what had been.
Where's Ukraine again? And her speech writer, because I have no faith that she writes any of her public comments. What was the thing about a year ago about unburdened by what has come before? and what shall come after.
The great unburdening of the concerning hit. I forget.
It celebrates women in history, making history, unburdened by whatever. So
the concerns are based on what we should all be concerned about.
Yeah, for real.
Burdened by what had been.
Don't be burdened by what has been.
Unburdened. Basically, that's wrong.
Well, so you know who's more shallow? If there's anyone more shallow than Kamala Harris, it's the founder of Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, and a reminder, Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't have a humble backstory. She's the child of two famous actors, Broadway and movies. I'm trying to think of the most prominent thing that her mom made. But anyway, her mom is Broadway to movie to movie to Broadway. She grew up wealthy, never ate ramen, couldn't carry it off, couldn't even make a decent ramen. Well, this is the most Gwyneth Paltrow court proceeding you're going to get. It's because a older guy was knocked over, did a Gwyneth versus physics collision. And he's suing her.
A meritless claim, a false allegation, really kind of an offensive one, that she somehow left him an unconscious man and bolted. And I can tell you, we believe it to be utter BS.
Objection, Your Honor. Argument. He's supposed to present what he's going to show, not argue it.
We believe it to be. It's fair. It's fair, isn't it?
Oh, sustained. It is bordering on argument, counsel.
Thank you.
Yeah, duh. Don't you know the Brady doctrine? Ever been Brady? So anyway,
have you seen
the counterclaim is that he ran into her?
Yeah. So clearly there was some kind of impact made, but it's a classic whodunit. There's a picture of Gwyneth Paltrow that has gone viral of her in the courtroom, and she looks like, I'm sorry to say, I know it's superficial, but aesthetically speaking, she looks like a character out of the House of Gucci movie.
Yeah.
And someone posted on Twitter, no one has ever looked more on trial for a skiing incident. It's got 90,000 likes.
That's funny. She can hit me at 50 miles an hour and would not make a dent. She's such a wisp of a person.
So this is
that would be my defense.
This trial hits home for me because I grew up skiing. I was never a fan, but my parents tried to make me a fan of skiing. I was always terrible at it. First ever time I skied, I took off my skis at the top of the mountain and walked the whole way down and got made fun of by people passing by. But also on Mission Ridge, when I was 13 years old, I saw a guy literally die by hitting a ski pole in front of my family. Like, we saw it happen in real time. A year later, this guy comes barreling
down. Sonny Bono.
Newsflash, skiing is rather dangerous, folks. Yeah. You're going about 50 miles an hour with no protection whatsoever.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my client's not even hot.
A year later, my mom got hit by a snowboarder going like 60 miles an hour down a mountain, was clearly concussed. It took her about 10 minutes to recover. This kind of thing happens all the time. The person who is suing Paltrow initially for a couple $1 million, scaled that down to $300,000, says he's got like permanent brain damage from this, and one of the worst things is he can no longer taste wine. So,
skier versus skier.
$20 million for that.
You know, and that's the thing, is the courtesy is that you stop, even if you sideswiped him or whatever, you announce if you're coming up behind someone on your left, you know, on your right, whatever. But if you hit him, you stop and you okay? You know, you pay some attention to him. And if help is needed, you wait till the ski patrol's there. And I used to live. When I lived in Salt Lake, which is a delightful place full of delightful people, it was at the mouth of Little Cottonwood Canyon, which starts life at 6,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You go up to the top and you have Alta, which is one of the best powder ski resorts in North America. And you're so high up in those mountains that you can ski directly to like Brighton and Deer Valley and the rest. What they didn't allow when I lived there was snowboarding, which I was just getting into because it was the 90s. We were all doing it. But the grooming operators listened to my morning show, which was a pretty good morning show in Salt Lake. And they were in their snow cats at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. whenever we started. I didn't pay attention. And so I mentioned where I lived, and the guy texted me and said, hey, come up with a snowboard. You know, we don't enforce those rules. And I'd seen, we had gone to Salt Lake a couple times at Wazoo. And you see some, and you know, in fast snow like that, you see some nasty stuff.
Oh, totally.
Broken legs are the least of it. And, you know, and Sonny Bono, granted, you know, gravity versus tree, tree's always going to win. Tree is 801 to one against gravity. And that's how Sonny Bono died. Liam Neeson's wife?
Yep, it fell and hit her head.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you're going, the whole point is to go fast. That's why I backcountry ski and cross-country ski. But anyway, if she had just stopped, the accusations that, you know, she was just with total disregard to skied on with her party, with her entourage. If she, all you got to do is just stop. I had a famous star ski across. My friend skis in Sun Valley in Idaho. They exchanged information, and he bought them new skis. So, true story. Then they drank it out at Grumpy's in Sun Valley. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.